our rally cry during this series has been, pray first. Everybody say, pray first.
Pray first.
Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. We are going to pray first. Before we get into any situation, any scenario, we want a discipline of praying first. Before we head to a doctor's office, even though we know we need to see a doctor, what are we going to do? Before we drop our kids off at school, what are we going to pray? What are we going to do with our kids? All right, we're going to pray first. This is what we're going to do as a body of believers, as followers of Christ. We're going to learn to discipline ourselves to pray first. It's not going to be a last resort. It's not going to be, well, I've done everything I can do, and I guess all I got left to do is pray. No, I'm going to pray first. I'm going to seek God first. I'm going to put God first. I'm going to emphasize God first. I'm going to look at this word first. So here's the deal, and I'm not going to get into this today during the message, but this is something that just hit me. If we'll learn to pray first, see, here's what will happen. Praying first will help a lot of you all avoid suffering later. It will. If you'll learn to pray first, if you'll learn to discipline yourself to pray first, what God will do is, because while you're praying first, He'll speak to you. He'll show you things. He'll give you wisdom, instruction, direction, guidance. And so a lot of us, if we'll pray first, we'll miss a big mess that we might have created because instead of going to God first, we just impulsively reacted, or we thought we'd do what we thought was best, or we'd jump right into it. And a lot of times we make mistakes. A lot of times we blow it. A lot of times we get emotional, we get angry, we have the wrong response. And if we could just have a moment where we would pray first, how many times, and don't feel guilty, you don't feel under condemnation if this is you, because this is me too. But how many situations, how much tension, how many problems could we have avoided if we'd have just taken 20 seconds and prayed first? Arguments, conflicts, scenarios, some of you'd still have jobs, some of you'd have better jobs, some of you'd still have relationships, some of you would pray first. There's wisdom in this. It's not just for growing spiritually and practically, it's for practical things as well. And so we're going to pray first. So part of our goal for this series isn't to just pray, it's pray first, but it's also to pray together. It's to pray together. Want to get husbands and wives connecting together. Want to get families connected together. Want to get people praying together. The Bible teaches that you need to have someone that you trust, that you go to and you pray with and that you agree with, because the prayer of agreement is so powerful. So powerful. Matthew teaches about this. And so this is a part of our prayer, is not just praying, but praying together and hooking up in faith. And so we know that the goal in the rally here is pray first, pray together. Now my question is this. Since we know, and we sang a bunch of songs about it this morning, and Tony referenced a couple scriptures about it, and we know that God is a good God, and so since He's a good God, He answers prayer. If we know that God is such a good God who answers prayer, why aren't we praying more? I've wondered this whole series. Since we know that God is good, and we proclaim it, and we teach it, and we know and believe that God hears and answers prayers, why is it that many of us still aren't praying the way that we should? Well, as a pastor, I've got all kinds of theories and I've got all kinds of thoughts about this. There are several reasons why. The first reason why is because I think, honestly, a lot of people just simply don't know how to pray. And when they pray, they don't know if they're doing it right. And at the end of the prayer, they're not sure if God heard or not, because they don't know if they did it correctly. And if they said it wrong, then it doesn't count. It's like a math problem. You have one decimal out of the place, and then it's the wrong answer, and that's what they think it is. So a lot of people didn't pray it right. Now, if that's you, my dad preached last Sunday and covered that brilliantly. So get online, nlcwv.com, and watch his message. It's on demand. You can watch it anytime you want. But that's one. But there are a lot of people that don't fall into that category. I think a lot of people fall into the category that I find myself into, and some of us are just a little bit ADD. When we start praying, we get a little distracted at times. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've been praying, and I'm like, God, I praise you, and I thank you. I'm believing God for miracles. I'm believing for signs and wonders and miracles. Thank you for sending awesome miracles. And I'm thinking, miracles. Thank you for miracles. Well, I got Miracle Whip on my sandwich. Is it lunchtime yet? I got turkey. Oh, I got baked Lays too. Thank you, Jesus, for baked Lays. And then all of a sudden, I've thought about food for the last 10 minutes instead of praying, and I'm thinking, what just happened? Distracted. It happens all the time where we just kind of lose focus while we're praying. And you know, all of a sudden, we're way off track. There was a video that went viral, and I won't tell you who it is. It's a preacher, and he's a popular preacher. Some of you know who it is. You've probably seen this video where he was on TV praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And while he's praying in tongues, his phone goes off and he checks his phone and just loses it. He'll watch this video going, "Dear God, dude, put your phone down. Theater mode, something." You got to look it up after church, all right? It's terrible. It's hilarious. Losing focus like that, you know, you go to a prayer meeting and sometimes it can be a little awkward. How many of you have ever had to hold hands with somebody? And that's the one thing that's weird too. You go to a prayer meeting and you end up holding hands with complete strangers. I know that we're in a church and we're a family, but you don't know, did that guy wash his hands? Did this lady just sneeze? I don't know. Those are things that run through my mind. That's why I have you fist bump. It's a clean way to pray. So I've been in services too where I've had to hold hands with somebody, and I held hands with the guy that as he got louder, his hand grip got tighter. And at some point, he's like hardcore praying, and I'm like dying. I got no blood left. And when it's my turn to pray, I can hardly breathe. But then I've held hands with people that, like, they're barely touching your hand, and it's just they're touching just enough for it to be creepy. Like, hold my hand. What are you doing? God, I feel like I got a shake. I got the EBGBs afterwards. When we were in youth, I love this. So when we were in youth, we would always do these prayer circles. Did anybody do the prayer circles in youth when you were young? We'd do these prayer circles and you had to take turns praying. And there was always that one kid, and it wasn't me. I'm the preacher's kid, but it wasn't me. There was always that one kid that was Jesus Jr. He had to pray, and he would pray. It would be like praying with, and he's out preaching today, but I'm going to pick on him. It'd be like praying with Billy Manuel. All right, y'all know Elder Billy Manuel. He can quote scripture like his uncle, Uncle Mike Manuel. Mike Manuel can quote, when he preaches one message, he quotes 128 scriptures. And I might be estimating low. I'm serious. He's just like, Bible, Bible, Bible. I mean, the dude just flows. Billy Manuel does the same thing. When you pray with him, he starts praying, and he's like hardcore praying, Deuteronomy 28, I'm calling down blessings, and I'm doing, and you know, just like they're praying. And I'm sitting there when I was in youth, a buddy of mine was hearing one of these kids praying, and so he decided that he was going to pray this powerful prayer too. And so we're holding hands, and we're all trying to stay straight-faced because we know what's about to happen, because this kid had just been hardcore praying and releasing his faith and praying scripture. And it got to my buddy, and he was just like, "And Lord, I thank you that, God, you are Jehovah Nissan. You are the greatest." Jehovah Nissan. He was like, "God, you're so good. You melt in the mouth and not in the hand." And we were like, "Phil, shut up. God's not going to answer that. It's a terrible prayer." But you know what I'm talking about. You get to those people and they pray. There have been a few times where I've been in those. When I was in Bible college, there was a kid who was praying. And he was praying. At the end of his prayer, I looked at him. I was like, if I was God, I'd answered that. That was awesome. I was going to high-five him. I lost focus because his prayer was so good. But we get into that tension where there's just this stress and there's this ADD and there's this distraction and all this stuff going on. I do have a theory, though. I do have a theory that at some point, everybody prays. At some point, everybody prays. Even people who don't believe in God pray. At some point, it happens. You don't believe me? Fly in an airplane. You'll find out. You don't believe me? Ride shotgun with your teenager driving. You'll pray. All right, I'm going to tell you a joke. Y'all ready for a joke? You're going to love this one. So there's a young man, and he's in a candy shop. He's picking out candy. He's looking at the chocolates, and he's got a big, elaborate plan, and he picks out three boxes of chocolates, one small box, one medium box, and one large box. He's all excited. So he grabs his boxes, he heads to the register, and he's getting ready to check out. The clerk looks at him and says, "Hey, you got three boxes of chocolate, three different sizes?" He says, "Absolutely, I got big plans tonight." "Ooh, curious, what kind of plans do you have?" And he said, "Well, I've got a date. The girl, I'm going to hook her up with some boxes of chocolates." And he said, "But why the three different sizes of boxes?" He said, "Well, the first box, the small box, is if she lets me hold her hand tonight. I'll give her the small box." And the guy behind the counter went, "Okay." He said, "The second box, the medium-sized box, that's if she gives me a kiss on the cheek. If she gives me a kiss on the cheek, I'll give her that medium-sized box." "All right." And he said, "This large box," he said, hey, "I'm good. I get it." He's like, "Yeah, got a date." He paid for his candy. "Good luck tonight, bub." Walks off, okay? Goes on the date with this girl. Gets to the parents' house. They decide to have dinner there first before they take off on their date. And they're sitting around the table. Put the food down, and parents come in. And all of a sudden, the boyfriend says, "Ho, before we eat, I think we should pray." They're kind of looking at him like, okay, you want to lead the prayer? He says, yes. So he goes on to pray. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for the mercies of God. I thank you for the love of God that overwhelms and overpowers. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who loves so much that you sent Jesus. He prays this just tremendously powerful prayer. Just finishes up. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for that grace and mercy. Amen and amen. Everybody's kind of staring at him. And his girlfriend leans over and is like, that was amazing. I didn't know you could pray like that. I didn't know you were so religious. He leans over back to her and he says, I didn't know your dad worked at a candy shop. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Everybody prays at some point. You might be like me and like everybody else in here, and you have your frustrations when it comes to prayer. Maybe you just lost respect for me in the last 3 minutes as your pastor, whatever, but I don't know. But if you're taking notes and pull your notes out, we're going to skip down to where it says prayer focus, because we make some mistakes when it comes to prayer, and this is where we're going to fix today. And this is our focus for prayer. Number one, don't be afraid to pray big. Don't be afraid to pray big. Because we often make some big mistakes, and when we pray small. The second one is this, don't pray generic prayers, pray specific. Don't pray generic, pray specific, because oftentimes we pray too small or we pray generically. So first of all, pray big. Pray big. When we pray, I believe that so many of us, our prayers are too small, and I also believe that they're often too generic. And so what happens is, to me, I think God, is sometimes just a little bit frustrated with our prayers. Because he's up in heaven saying, I'm God Almighty. I created the universe. I spoke it into being. I spoke it into existence. I can do all things. I can do anything. Is it impossible to you? It's not to me. And we wake up and we're just like, God, thank you for my day. Bless my day. And God's like, what do you want me to bless? Just bless my day. All right, I might bless your day with the opportunity for you to grow some patience today. And you're going to be stuck in traffic all day. I don't know. What do you... You know, I'm looking at this going, God might be a little frustrated. Thank you for my daily blessing. And he's like, what do you mean your daily blessing? Daily blessing of what? Have you seen where you live? You're in the United States. You're doing pretty good. Just being honest. The Heavenly Father, he's up and he's like, listen, you know, God, be with us today. And God's like, haven't you read my word? I already told you I promised to never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be there. I am here. I'm right beside you. I'm whispering to you right now. And this is the things that I think maybe I wonder if God's getting frustrated. I wonder every once in a while if God's going up in heaven, if he's going, all right, today I'm hoping that they will ask me for something big, something so big that when I do it for them, there's no denying that it was me who did it for them. Something so grand, something so amazing, something so awesome that people look past the person and say, only God could have done this. Ask me for something big. I'm God Almighty. Pray big prayers. I wonder about that. We end up, because we're afraid to pray big, we end up shooting out also generic prayers. Generic prayers. You know, and I've prayed a lot of these prayers as well. And so what we're going to do is we're not going to just pray. We're not just going to pray small prayers. We're not going to just pray generic prayers. We're going to pray specific. And I'm going to ask you to pray specific, because generic prayers do not move God to specific actions. I'm going to say that again because you might have missed it. Generic prayers do not move God to specific actions. You start praying generically, you're going to get answered generically. This is what Scripture teaches. It's what we're going to get into. If I'm going to move God into specific actions in my life, I'm going to pray for specific things. I'm going to pray in faith. I'm going to speak specific things in faith so that God will do. And that's what James said. James said, you don't have because you've asked, or you've asked wrong. When you don't have answers to prayers, that's part of the problem. And so I'm going to ask God for very specific requests and have the faith to believe that he can do all things that, again, that would otherwise be impossible to see, that otherwise wouldn't happen, wouldn't take place. So I'm going to trust God enough that when I pray, I'm going to pray big, and then I'm going to pray specifically. And so I'm going to pray big, faith-filled, specific prayers. Everybody say that with me. I'm going to pray big, faith-filled, specific prayers. Now you know the direction that we're heading in. So we're going to look at the Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to camp out there today. It's really amazing. It's a really great passage of Scripture. So the Apostle Paul, now if you don't know anything about Paul, his name used to be Saul. He had an encounter with Jesus. When he was Saul, he was a pretty terrible person. He was a religious zealot. He thought he was doing the work of God, but actually what he was doing was killing the people of God. He was causing all kinds of disruption, causing all kinds of problems. He was attacking Christians, killing Christians, doing everything he can. So he gets caught on a road by Jesus. Jesus approaches him and speaks to him himself, shows Saul his glory. This huge transformation takes place. Saul becomes Paul. Now Paul is going around and just preaching the gospel everywhere. He's planting churches, growing those churches to as big as he can. And when he would grow big, he would take off, start another church. And then what he would do is he would write letters back to the churches that he planted. And so the book of Ephesians is one of these letters. It's back to a church that he had planted, and he's teaching them to grow in their faith. And so this is one of the Pauline epistles. So if you want to impress all your friends and say at New Life Church, we're studying the Pauline epistles. All right, you can do that and have fun, and then they won't care, but you'll feel smart. So Paul, what he would do is he would pray for his churches, and he would pray in this formula, and it's this beautiful formula. And I know you don't want to turn prayer into a formula, but you can see kind of a pattern take place when Paul prayed. And so Paul, when he would pray, he would start out by saying, I pray blank so that blank would happen. In other words, I'm going to pray this so this will happen. And he prayed this way over and over and over again, and there's a lot for us to learn through this pattern that Paul teaches. And so the first one we're looking at is, again, here in Ephesians 3. Paul wrote this around 60 AD. He was actually writing this from a Roman prison at the time. Guy was stuck in prison, still writing out prayers. And we're going to start in verse 14 and 15. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. For this reason, I kneel." Everybody say, I kneel. Now, I want to stop right there because it's important whenever we talk about prayer that you understand prayer is not about the posture. Now, Paul is choosing to kneel in this particular passage, but you can pray standing, you can pray sitting, you can pray lying down, you can pray walking, you can pray running, you can pray driving. While you drive, you should be doing what Jesus said and watch and pray. Don't close your eyes and pray. That would be dangerous. You can pray kneeling like Paul said. In fact, at the time where Paul was writing this, the most normal way to pray, the Jewish typical way to pray during Paul's day would have been standing up with hands held, palms up in the air, just in a posture of receiving. And so you can pray in any posture. And Paul, in this particular part, he says, I'm going to kneel before God in prayer. And I want to encourage you to not just come to God in the same posture every single time. Listen, there are times when I kneel, it's because I want to honor God and I want to reverence God, and it's almost an attitude of worship. And when I have that attitude of worship, I feel led to kneel. Just kneel before God, hands raised, honoring Him, praying Him, praising Him, blessing His name. But then there are times where I start declaring things and I'm petitioning God and I'm praying for you guys. And at that point, I start getting kind of wild. I start a walk. And I'll pace. You know, I'm like starting to like march almost. I get real excited while I'm praying, and I want to keep moving. I'm kind of a nervous guy anyway, and so I'm always fidgety. And so I have to walk and pray. But it doesn't matter what the posture is, as long as you're praying. And I encourage you to explore different postures anyway. But Paul said this, "For this reason, I kneel before my Father." And in verse 16, he says, "I pray." Everybody say, "I pray." "Out of His glorious riches, His glorious riches." Now, I want to stop right there for a moment, because Paul is recognizing first and foremost that I am praying to a Father, to our God, who has glorious riches. I'm not praying to a broke God. I'm not praying to a busted God. I'm not praying to a weak God. I'm not praying to a God that I don't think can actually answer my prayers. I'm praying because I believe and trust that God has glorious riches. Glorious riches, the words he says. And so he said, I'm not praying to a weak God. I'm already coming in faith, knowing that God's got everything that I need. Glorious riches. There's an earlier passage where Paul said this, "I thank God, my Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms." Every spiritual blessing. So what he is saying is God's already made available anything that you would ever need spiritually. Anything you would ever need to accomplish the purpose and plan of God in your life, He's already made it available to you. What do you need? You need some peace because it's a bit crazy out there? Yeah, he's made it available to you. You need some joy today because the enemy's attacking? Yeah. You need some courage because you've got some fear you've been battling? He's got it for you. Anything you need, he's saying, my God, my Father, who has all the glorious riches, has released every spiritual blessing you could ever possibly need. But you've got to access it. This is what Paul's getting to. This is the God to whom I pray, that out of his glorious riches. Remember Philippians 4, my God shall supply all your need, what? According to his riches in glory. Again, he's echoing over and over and over again that God is able, that God is able. So when you pray, pray in faith. When you pray, pray knowing that you're praying to our Heavenly Father, who not only has everything you need, but wants you to receive everything he has for you. This is important. So the Apostle Paul, he says, he echoes this. I think part of this too is because he wants us to know this. Why is it that if we have a Father in heaven who's so spiritually rich that most of us settle for being spiritually broke? Why do we settle for that any day of the week? Why would we settle when our Heavenly Father is so spiritually rich, according to his riches and glory, every spiritual blessing, do we settle for being spiritually busted? There's no excuse for that. None at all. And this is what Paul's letting us know. He's saying this is why we ask specific, big faith-filled prayers, because God, again, delights in blessing his children, his spiritual blessing. So he says, I pray out of the glorious riches that he may do what? That he may strengthen you with power. Strengthen you with power. Everybody say that word, power. Through his spirit in your inner being. He may strengthen you with power. Now, why did he pray that? Why did he pray that? The reason is this, so that Christ, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Remember, we just talked about that pattern. He would pray this so that you could have that. And this is what he's saying. I'm praying that out of his glorious riches, he will strengthen you with power so that Christ will dwell in your hearts with faith. I pray that God strengthens you with power. Now, you've learned this before, but the Greek word for the word power there is the word dunamis, and that's where we get the word dynamite. So it's an explosive power. But don't in any way mistake this power that Paul's referencing and referring to as anything that can be duplicated by a human being. This is absolutely a divine God kind of power. It can only come from God. You can't replicate it. You can't duplicate it. You can't manufacture it. You can't fake it. It's either God or it's not. Some of us think we're operating in the power of God, and we're really just struggling, operating on our own. And then we let everybody know that we think it's God's power, but it's not. It's either God's power or it's not. And this is what Paul's talking about. He wants us to strengthen us with the actual, real power of God, that dunamis, that supernatural power. He doesn't want us confusing it with normal human power. It's because if we're going to do something and accomplish something for God, it's going to require supernatural power. How in the world are we as believers supposed to do something great for God supernaturally? Weak! We are supernatural beings that require supernatural power that comes from God. And so I need that real power. I desperately need God's power every day. I need it to overcome temptations, to overcome struggles. I need God's power in my preaching. We need God's power in our marriages. We need God's power at our jobs. We need God's power everywhere we go, teaching a class, in our classrooms. We need God's power everywhere we go. Not our power. Whose? God's. God's power. And that's what Paul's getting to. So I pray out of his glory and riches that God would strengthen you with dunamis, with power. So available to you. So available, ready for you. Any of you have in your home, so when Megan and I were first married, we had this home, and we had this room that it had this light switch. And this light switch was like this secret ninja light switch. You would flip it on and off, tick, 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 and nothing ever happened. Any of you have that light switch in your home? You're like, what in the world does this power? What comes on? Something, there's like a secret room in this house. We got to find it, because somewhere the light is coming on and off in this house somewhere. And so we did this for years. We'd walk in the room on and off, didn't do a thing, didn't make a difference, didn't worry about it. At some point, you just forget about it. So a couple years into living this home, I'm scooting the couch out because we're setting up a new lamp. So I scoot this couch out and notice that there's an outlet behind this couch. Oh, well, cool. I plug the lamp into that. That'll look way better than the cable stretching across the room and looking stupid. So I plug it in, switch the lamp on, nothing. Nothing. God, junk. Junk house, junk lamp. You know how you always lose it. What's going on? Unplug it, plug it back in, because that has fixed it. You know, they did it like 14 times. Man, what's going on? So about the fifth or sixth time I'm doing this, I look over and I look at that switch, and I'm like, you know, light bulb. I go over, turn the lamp on, flip that switch. Oh, lights come on. Like, oh, this whole time. That's what it did. I was like, man, look at this. On, off, on, off, on, off. Our house isn't junk. I had power available the entire time. For years, I had it available to me. And I had to one day plug in and just simply flip the switch. But it was available that whole entire time. But we never tapped into it. The power of God is always available. It's always available. All you have to do is simply flip the switch. Every single day, it's available. Flip the switch. By flipping the switch, you are praying, accessing, receiving the presence and the power of Almighty God. Paul says, I pray not that you'll be blessed, not that you'll have lots of money, not that you'll have the nicest house on the block, not that you'll get new clothes every week. I pray not that you'll be saved, super saved, super duper saved. No, he says, I pray that you'll have power. That's what I pray for you. That the power of God, so the presence of Christ may dwell within your heart. Verse 17, he continues, I pray that you'll be rooted and established in love. And if I'm going to have my roots planted in deep in something, it's going to be established in the very love of God. That's a love that doesn't fail. And Jesus. And so he says that you'll be rooted and established, and also so that your love may have what? Power. Power. That's amazing. Here he goes into it again. Power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp how long, how wide, how deep the love of Christ is. So he says, I want you to have power so that you'll know just how much God loves you. Well, hold up. Why do I need to know? Why do I need power to know how much God loves me? Here's one of the reasons why, is because you need to understand that God's love surpasses knowledge. I'm going to say that again. You need to understand that the love of God is not something that you learn about and read about. It surpasses knowledge. It's not just something you hear a message about in church and you've got it all figured out. No, God's love is revealed to you. It's not learned. It's revealed to you. So you can't just hear about God loves you. You ever look at somebody else's life sometimes and you think, man, I look at their life and it looks like they are absolutely spiritually blessed. Like when they've got peace, it seems like they're growing spiritually. And some people, you know, it's not like it looks like they are. They actually are growing spiritually. Seem they're growing spiritually. Why do they have a peace that I don't have? Why does it seem that they have a joy I don't have? And I'm not talking about because they post something happy on Facebook every once in a while. I mean, you look and you see their life. And there's a genuine joy there. There's a genuine peace there. It's unmistakable. You can tell the fake from the real, can't you? You really can. In 2019, we can tell the difference. We know when people are full of it or not. I mean, let's just be real. We understand the difference in 2019. And you see these people and you think they've really got it. Have you ever wondered, maybe it's because they actually are different because they've accessed something that's available to everybody, but for some reason you've chosen not to. You've chosen to leave it alone, and they've accessed it. So when they needed peace, guess what they've done? They flipped the switch. They got into the presence of God. Even if it was for 10 seconds, they got in the presence of God and said, God, I need your peace right here in this moment, because they learned to pray first. And because they learned to pray first, instead of struggling, getting wound up, getting upset, getting all, you know, bent out of shape because of something that happened, they've actually gotten to the presence of God. And in that moment, they accessed the power of God. He shed his light in their life, gave them the peace they needed, gave them the power they needed, gave them the strength they needed, and now they're getting through it. That's why there's a difference. And if you ever wondered about that, they've got that supernatural understanding of the love of God. This is the crazy thing about the love of God, is you cannot naturally understand God's love. It absolutely makes no sense to try to understand it with your mind. It doesn't make any sense. Why God would go through the trouble and go through the, I mean, you read through the journey from the beginning of time to the point where Jesus gave himself on the cross. That is an incredible story. And God said, you are worth it. You're worth it to go through all that. And you read it, it does not make sense, because our minds don't have the capacity on their own to just simply comprehend how much God really loves us. You just don't. That's why, by the way, parents, this next week is so important for you to be praying with your kids. One of the most important prayers that you should be praying with them is that they would understand just how much God really loves them. Why do I pray that as a parent? It's because if I'll pray that my child will understand just how much God really loves them, then they'll find their approval through their relationship in Christ. And if their approval comes from God, they won't need it from somebody else. They won't need it from social media. They won't need it from likes or from dislikes. They won't need it from, they'll have their approval found in Christ in the relationship with God. He'll help them to grow. He'll help them to flourish. He'll help them to thrive. That's why it's so important. They already have the approval of God. That's why also husbands, wives, spouses, it's why it's so important for you to pray for your spouse that he or she would have the power of God in their life so they could truly understand the revelation of how much God loves them. Same principle applies here. I want my wife to have a full intimate relationship with her Heavenly Father. Because when she begins to understand just how much God loves her and she sees herself the way God sees her, what do you think that's going to do for her? It's going to change her whole life. It's going to change her perspective. It's going to change how she looks at me. She's going to look at me and be like, oh, even more. Telling you, it's just the way this is set this up, all right? That's why anytime I really try to talk about the love of God, my words just, I always feel like I've failed terribly because I don't even come close to just how great this love really is. With God, love is not just what he does. Love is who he is. And it's hard for us to understand that. Love is who God is. It's the essence. It's the character. It's the being. It's who he is. He is love. 1 John 4:7-8. Love is God. God is love. And when you begin to recognize that as a believer, that God is love and that he loves you, and then what you can do is you can stand from this strength that nothing I can do could cause God to love me more, but nothing I can do could also cause God to love me less. It's not about what I've done. It's all about who he is. He is love. He loves me. He loves you. That's what he does. That's who he is. It changes everything. It changes everything. All of a sudden now, I'm not living, you know, the church life and just serving Jesus and see it as coming to church once a week. No, this is a daily relationship with my Heavenly Father. Because of the love he's given me. And I'm coming from a standpoint not trying to just, you know, earn my way into heaven. No, I'm trying to honor and love my Savior. I'm trying to love people the way he loves people. It's such a difference. I'm not being pulled down into this world. No, his love is pulling me out. It's raising me up every single day. There's a difference in a believer who has an understanding of the love of God and their identity is found in and through that love and a believer who just shows up to church and has no clue. One person thrives all spiritual blessings through his glorious riches. The other person struggles. And it seems like they continue to struggle over and over and over again. And some of you find yourself in that position. And that's why whenever you meet people who've really gained that revelation of the love of God, you look at them and you go, how is it that you remain so calm when all this is going on? Why is it that you're not panicked? Why is it that you're not going crazy? Why is it that you're not, you know, setting up bunkers and... doing all the things that people do when they lose it. Why is it that when you get a bad doctor's report, you still have supernatural peace? Why is it that you're not going nuts? And it's simple. It's because they've got a revelation of the love of God. And because that love of God is on the inside of them, there's a peace there. There's assurance there. There's a calm there. They've got power. That love is an indicator that they've got the power of God in their life. You want to know the true indicator of whether or not you're operating in God's power or your own power? Check your love life. Check your love walk. It's a true indicator of whether or not it's God's power or whether it's your own. This is what Paul's getting to. He's saying, listen, I've got a spiritually rich Heavenly Father, and I'm praying that you have the power of God so that you can truly understand just how much God loves you, because when you begin to understand how much God loves you, it changes everything. Listen, that's why one of the most important prayers you can pray for yourself, for others, is that they understand the love of God. Listen, when I pray for you, I'm not praying generic, God bless New Life Church people today, prayers. I'm not praying weak sauce prayers like that. I'm praying specific, big, faith-filled purpose-filled prayers for our church. I'm praying, God, I pray that when they open up their Bible today, that the words scream at their face, that the word of God jumps out, fills their heart. I pray, Lord God, that you fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, that they have the boldness and the courage that when they face a difficult situation today, that, Lord, they have the greater one on the inside of them. I don't just pray these weeks-old simple prayers for you guys. I'm praying big, specific things. You need to be praying and speaking those things yourself. Don't be afraid to pray big. And when you pray big, pray specific. Don't pray generic prayers, because generic prayers don't move God to specific answers. This is important. I'm praying for God to hear it. Listen, when I'm praying, I'm not just saying, God speak, and then I sit there. What? Oh, no, that was my watch. I mean, come on. I'm coming to God, getting specific with things in my life, wanting him to get specific with things in mine, because, again, I don't serve a generic God, and I don't want a generic relationship. And so this is when we pray. And the cool thing about it is this. When I pray that you all experience the love of God, I pray that it comes in waves. I pray like this over my family. I pray it comes in waves, because what happens in church is after a while, you start to feel like you got things figured out. Don't act like you don't do this. I've been here long enough. I've heard the faith message preached. I know the message of faith. I know the word of faith. Okay, sure. You're perfected now. Let's watch you float away to heaven because you're done. I don't know. But at the same time, I pray that that love flows like waves over your life. About the time you think you've got it figured out, man, you get hit with another wave. About the time you think you've got it figured out, you get a slam with another wave of the love of God. It just flows over and over and over again, just continue to wreck you and mess you up so that you continue to understand just how great God's love is in your life. So you never get content. You never get satisfied. You never get filled with yourself. You never feel like I've got this figured out. But you always stay fresh in your love walk with God, because that means that that power is staying fresh in your life. It's so important. So important. So we're praying big things. We're praying specific things. I'm not just praying things like, God, you know, help my kids today at school. No, I'm praying things like, God, I pray that my son and daughter are leaders, spiritual leaders in their school today. That, God, you're going to give them the voice of God today. That you're going to help them to overcome any kind of temptation. That, God, they're going to make great decisions. That when the enemy comes in one way, he's going to scatter seven, because the greater one's on the inside. I'm praying specific things over my children every single day. Ask my son. We pray every morning on the way to school. We pray specific things. Ava, we go pick up her friend. We're praying with her friend too. We're joining everybody. You want prayer? I'll pray for you too. I'll pray for everybody. I have no problem with that. But when I pray, I'm praying big, specific things. You know, it's just like a husband and wife. If you've got a spouse and you've got arguments, you're praying for your husband. And you don't pray, you know, God, I pray for my husband because he's a jerk today. Help him to be less of a jerk. Don't go there. No, pray. God, grab his heart in a way that it draws him to his knees, that he goes crying for you. And in that moment, God, flood his heart with a love and a compassion and a peace that knocks him out. Absolutely changes his life. Pray big, pray specific. Jesus, thank you for giving me money. No, pray specific. Lord, I thank you that you promised in your word. It is your words, God, to me, that I would not be a beggar. Because I'm your child. I'm not going to be a beggar. So, Lord, I don't have to come begging you for anything. You are my provider. You are my source. I trust you. I believe in you. So I thank you, Lord, right now, that not only are you going to provide for this bill and that bill, but you're going to bless me in a way that I'm going to pay for somebody else's bills. And then I'm going to tell them how good my God is. That's the kind of big faith-filled prayers, specific prayers, that God wants to hear from us. He's saying, take it up a level. Take it up a level. This is the kind of prayer these are the kind of prayers that aren't just have a nice day prayers. Lord, give us a good day. Amen. No, it's a prayer that changes generations. It's a prayer. Some of you, if you'll grab a hold of this revelation, it'll change the trajectory of your family life. It'll change the way that your marriage is headed right now. There's some of you that you have had a history of bad marriages, a history of faulty relationships. Some of you in your one relationship, it's gone kind of iffy. And if you'll start praying big, faith-filled prayers, get specific, God will start changing things. He'll start changing things. You cannot change somebody's heart. Only God can. You can't do it. I have tried for years to fix people's heart, and I have failed for years. The only one who has the ability to absolutely change somebody's heart is God. And the only way that's going to happen is if you'll get on your knees, or you'll stand, or you'll pace, or you'll walk, or you'll lie, or whatever it is you need to do, and you will pray. And you will pray. Big, faith-filled, specific prayers. And bring God's power into the situation. This is where he's leading us as a church. Let's keep going. He prays, verse 20, it's like this anthem, now to him who is able to do, how much? Immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. In other words, you can't measure this. You can try, but you can't measure this. He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think or imagine. Take the greatest picture. Imagine the greatest thing of the greatest result in your mind. God can do better. That's just how great he is. The greatest thing according to what? According to his power that works in us. According to his power that works where? Within us. That power is not out there. That power is not in a building. That power is not in a book other than the word of God. That power, he says, works within you. So everything you need for God to do in your life, it's in you. What if this whole time we've been waiting on God to do something for us, and this entire time God's been waiting on us to do something through us? What if? Isn't this remarkable? According to his power working within us, he's able to do measurably more than we could ask or imagine. According to his power that works within us, to him be glory in the church that he loves, the bride of Christ, through all generations, forever and ever and ever. Do you see the faith in this prayer in Ephesians 3? This isn't just a God help me through the week. God help me just make it today. Man, I know that there are days like that. I know there are rough days. I know there are rough seasons. Some of you might even be in a rough season, and I get that. And I understand that. But receive this word as a word from God for you, that it's time to break out. It's time to break out. And it's not going to happen because somebody feels sorry for you. And it's not going to happen because you feel sorry for yourself. It's going to happen because you start praying big, faith-filled, specific prayers. And you start really trusting and proving this word works in your life. God all throughout Scripture says, put me to the test, prove me. Even when it comes to your giving, says, put me to the test and prove me. Over and over again, Jesus echoes through the word, I'm greater. The greater one's on the inside of you. I've overcome this world, so don't worry. Everything in this Scripture references God as greater, as mightier, as bigger, as stronger. And this whole time, we feel bad and feel sorry for ourselves. Things aren't working out. What's going on? Why is it only happening to me? It's not only happening to you. But it is happening to you because you refuse to pray. You've refused to pray first. And because you've refused to pray first, you're in a mess. But it's not over. You're breathing. You've got hope. You've got life. And so start today. Start today. Big, faith-filled, specific prayers. Trusting God. Releasing your faith. Watch God work in your life.